Okay, Chavra. So Baruch Hashem, it seems like everyone is present. Interestingly, I think we get better attendance on this Zoom type of shiur than we get when we're live sometimes, but that might just have something to do with A, the Sfarim sale not being on, and B, with the fact that there isn't that much going on in the world at this point besides coronavirus. Oh, that's amazing. It's actually true. There's mamish nothing else to do. Like, if I'd be really firm, I'd say like a Kaddish Baruch Hu brought all of this in order that we should learn more Torah. But I'm not that firm. Like, that's a little scary. Okay, Chevra. So the last time we learned, we pointed out a fundamental machlokas hatanoyim about whether we equate duchening to avoda. Right, just like Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash have dinim about Avoda, do I say that Duchening is connected to the dinim of Avoda? Can someone fill me in about what was this Machlokas HaTanoim about whether Duchening is connected to Avoda? You could raise your hand, you could push a raise hand button, or I could call on you. Sarit, can you tell me what was this discussion Tanoim about whether Duchening is connected to Avoda? You have to unmute yourself, whoever is speaking. Okay? Oh, okay. In other words, what we're trying to do is have a long conversation, or a somewhat long conversation, about whether Duchening is connected to Avoda that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And I pointed out last time, we seem to read the Gemara, that says that there's a discussion in Tanoim as to whether that is correct, whether that's true or not. So what's a discussion in Tanoim as to whether Duchening is connected to Avoda? Meira, yeah, please. Oh, I'm sorry, Sarit, I cut you off. Let Meira begin, and then Sarit will fill in. Oh, so that was a Gemara in Tainis that we pointed out, that the discussion as to how come a drunk Kohen is not allowed to duchen. So one possibility in the Gemara is that we learn it from Nazir. The other possibility in the Gemara is that we learn it from Avoda. And the Gemara really said that, you know what, they're both kind of not fully true. But since duchening is, this is a din derabbanan, so we'll say both lahakel. In other words, we'll learn from Nazir and we'll learn from Avoda both. It's not exactly like Avoda, because for Avoda, a Baal Mum is going to be Pasol. Over here, a Baal Mum, a Kohen who has like some sort of blemish, is kosher to Duchen, so it's not exactly like Avoda. It's also not exactly like Nazir, because a Nazir can't eat grapes, and you're allowed to Duchen after you eat grapes. So that was the Gemara in Tainis, which is absolutely correct. But I'm also looking for a Gemara in Sota that is connected to this question as to whether Duchening and Avoda are connected. Who has a Gemara in Sota that connects to this? Sarit. Correct. I mean, the Gemara says that you have to stand, but why do I have to be standing? So that's the opinion of the Tana Reb Nosson. Right? The Gemara says that the Tana Reb Nosson says that we learn from La Amod L'Shares, that we learn that just like Avoda has to be done standing up, Duchening also has to be done standing up. However, the Tana Kama does not say that, no? The Tana Kama says, how do I know Duchening is done standing up? Again, I heard someone say something. Sarit, what did you say? You're the only one not on mute, so I assume it was you. Oh, Meira. What's the other position, Tanoim? Not that we learn. Right, we learn from the Brach of Har Grisim and Har Evel that the Torah writes, Elu Ya'amdu, right, that the following people have to stand up. So we learn from the Brach of Har Grisim and Har Evel that you have to be then you have to be standing. So we have a beferish machlokas hatanoyim as to whether the source of standing is from a hekesh to avoda, that's Reb Nosson, or whether it's not from a hekesh of avoda, that's the Tanakama. Tosfos points out the end of Dibur HaMaskil Harei. Tosfos points out that what happens if a Kohen does not listen to these rules? Let's say a Kohen duchens while sitting. So what's Tosfos say? Shira, is that a hand up or not exactly? Nachon. Right? Tosfos says if I duchen while I'm sitting, it says if I did nothing, lo asa v'lo klum, because of the hekesh to avoda, because iskesh bracha l'sheirus. And just like by avoda, if you do avoda when you're sitting, and the Gemara in Zvachim says, not only if a Kohen does avoda while sitting, but even if a Kohen does avoda with smicha, with like leaning on something, you're like bending down, the Kohen is also not that's mechalol v'avoda. The avoda is not kosher if the Kohen is bending down, is leaning on something. You have to mamish be standing. So therefore, according to Tosfos, you're not yotzei unless you are actually standing. You're not lo asav lo klum. It's not considered duchening at all. It's mechalol avoda. So therefore, you'd have to give the bracha again. That's what Tosfos says. The idea that you have to give the bracha again is because if a Kohen is called upon to give a bracha, and the Kohen does not give the bracha, the Kohen is in violation of three mitzvahs asei, we'll see later on. So the Kohen will have to duchen again, because the Kohen is lo asa v'lo klum. That's what Tosfos comments. Now there is another Gemara here in Sota, where the Gemara also says that we have a discussion as to whether we equate duchening to avoda. Right? The Gemara in the context of Nesias Kapayim, the Gemara in the context of the Kohen raising his hands. So the first source that the Gemara brings up is that we learn from the Pasuk in Parsha Shemini, Vayisa Aharon es yodov el ha'om vayivarchem. And just like over there, Aharon raised his hands, so also the Kohen always has to raise his hands. But Rabbi Yonason asks, one second, Ma lahalon Kohen gadol rosh chodesh avodas tzibur. Here also, Kohen gadol rosh chodesh avodas tzibur. In other words, maybe the only time that you have to do Nesias Kapayim is when you have all of these conditions. It's a Kohen gadol, rosh chodesh, etc. So Reb Nosson says, no, you don't really need that. It says, Hu ban of kol hayomim, makish ban of lo, mahu ben nesias kapayim, af ban of ben nesias kapayim, uksiv kol hayomim, v'iskish bracha l'sheiros. Right, Reb Nosson, again, brings up the same idea of iskish bracha l'sheiros, meaning that there's an equation in halacha between avoda and duchening. And just like by avoda, the Torah says, Hu uvana of kol hayomim. The Torah says that by avoda, Aharon HaKoyen does it, and his children do it for kol hayomim. There's no distinction between the Kohen Gadol, between other Kohanim, and there's no distinction between one day of the year and another day of the year. They're all the same. Hu uvana of kol hayomim. So also, we are saying that bracha is equated to sheiros, that bracha is equated to avoda, and also by bracha, it has to be hu uvanav kol hayomim. So Reb Nosson, in two places, both in the context of amida, of standing, and in the context of nesias kapayim, Reb Nosson invokes this equation between avoda and duchening. Good? Now, here's the thing. Actually, I'm going to try this without the headset. Like, this is making me a little crazy. I'm going to try it without it. Let's see if it works better. Okay, so we have the two we have the two sources in our Gemara, and we also have the Gemara that Meira mentioned, the Gemara in Matinus that speaks about the equation between Avoda and Nisias Kapayim with respect to being drunk. And that Gemara was not absolute, because the Gemara also had the invocation of Nazir. Last time we learned, though, we noted that problems in Judaism begin from, call out, someone? Where do all the problems, Sarah?
The Rambam.
The Rambam, Nachon, right? All the problems in Yiddishkeit come from the Rambam, and in this context, I have two Rambams who mention a hekesh between Avoda and Duchening. Let's follow along. I think I gave one of them to you in the Makoros for Monday and yesterday, and the other one I gave in the Makoros for today. Right? It says in the Rambam, Perek Tesvav Halacha Gimel, right, that there are six things, where Perek Tesvav Halacha Aleph begins, there are six things that prevent dochening. There's language, there's mumin, aveira, shonim and yayin, and tumas ayadayim. Aveira ketsa, Perek Tesvav Halacha Gimel. Right? You have the Rambam, you can follow electronically, presumably. So the Rambam, Perek Tesvav Halacha Gimel, writes, what is aveira? Kohen shaharegas hanefesh, afo pisha asa tshuva, lo yisa es kapov. Shenemar yedechem damim mileyu, uksiv uparischem kapechem. A kohen who kills is not allowed to duchen. And he brings psukim in Sefer Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, this is like in the Haftorah of Chazon, no? Yedechem damim mileyu, uparischem kapechem. Right? Ubaharischem kapeicha means that when you daven, the Rabbon Hashem won't listen to your tefillas because you're murderers. That's what Yeshayahu HaNavi says. But Chazal have an additional level of interpretation that ubaharischem kapeicha means when you raise your hands and you kaihanim raise your hands, so it won't work because yedechem damim mileyu, because you're murderers. This is a big shaila, no? A kohen who's a chayal. A kohen who serves in the Israeli army. And the kohen kills terrorists. The kohen kills people who are going to kill Jews. So is such a kohen allowed to duchen? What would you say from the Rambam? No, right? You shook your head no. Why not? Temi?
Because the Rambam doesn't specify the case in which somebody who killed somebody wouldn't be able to chen, just in general, that's anybody.
Right, so the Rambam doesn't specify the case, right, that's true. But even more than that, the Rambam writes, afal pi sha'asa tshuva, no? The Rambam writes, if someone kills, someone murders, even though the kohen did tshuva, still the kohen is not allowed to duchen. Lucha ora, killing someone b'shogig or b'ones, is very similar to someone who does tshuva. Nonetheless, you can't duchen. Weiter in the Rambam, kohen she'avad kochavim, bein ba'ones, bein b'shgaga, api she'asa tshuva, eino nosei, es kapov le'olam. The kohen violates avodah zara, the kohen can never duchen. She'ne'emar achlo yalu kohanei abamos. U'bracha ka'avodahi, she'ne'emar l'sharis olavarech b'shmo. Right? Those are the words I'm looking for. The Rambam tells me that a kohen who violates avodah zara can never duchen. Whether he did it ba'ones or b'shogeg, the kohen can never duchen, because the Rambam says that duchening bracha is like avodah. Even though we noted that that's a shita only within Rabbi Nosson, but the Rambam seems to paskin like that in the extreme form. This is also against the Keren Ora, no? The Keren Ora that we saw last time said that I only am makish avoda to duchening, sheiris to avod, I only make that hekish in a case of amida, which is beferish in the pasuk, la amod l'shares. But the Rambam is marchik lechet, the Rambam goes even farther, and the Rambam says, even a kohen who worshipped avodah zara can never duchen, And a Kohen who is Hemer La'akum, can never duchen, etc. Ushar Averos Eimonen. Only Avodah Zarah prevents a Kohen from duchening. That is the Rambam in Perek Tesvav Halacha Gimon. The Rambam Perek Tesvav Halacha Dalin also writes that a Kohen who drank wine should not duchen because Huksha bracha la'avoda. So the Rambam in two contexts, Perek Tesvav Halacha Gimel and Perek Tesvav Halacha Dalet, writes that there's a hekesh between duchening and avoda. The Rambam says this in a more extreme version than everybody else. Did I hear one of you start to ask a question?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Tammy, I give you permission.
Are we saying that the Rambam is being more specific with avoda zara, like being more machmir there as opposed to killing someone? Because the Rambam also is really machmir with killing somebody.
So
you can never do it.
Right, so the thing is that when it comes to a Kohen who killed, so I don't know that it's Mechalal the Avoda necessarily. For some reason, the Rambam does not say that the equation between Avoda and Duchening applies to a Kohen who killed. That's a discussion that Tosfos in Sanhedrin has. I'd rather not get into that full conversation, but the point is that the Rambam certainly has a broader understanding of this equation between duchening and avoda than everybody else. For the Rambam, it applies to a kohen who did avoda zara, as well as a kohen who drank wine, which, again, it seems to be against the Gemara, both in Tainus and in Sota, but, okay, that's why the Rambam creates the problems in Judaism. So far, so good? Now, there is a bit of a discussion. I remember when I used to be a show rabbi in my previous life, like last year, so there was one man in the show. His last name was Cohen, actually. And whenever there would be duchening, he would walk out. And my predecessor, Rabbi Schneidman, told me that he would walk out because, as a Kohen who was a Mechalal Shabbos, he used to work on Shabbos. It's not that uncommon that Jews of a certain generation would keep their stores open on Shabbos. So, as a Kohen who's Mechalal Shabbos, he would not duchen. Who wants to explain this idea to me, where it would come from that a Kohen who's Mechalal Shabbos does not duchen? Where would that come from, based on what we just learned? Temi? Abigail? One of you? Let's see, Temi spoke already, so we'll let Temi speak again.
Oh, okay. Can we say
I got you on that one, Abigail, right? Yeah.
Somebody who is Mechal Shabbos is Kilo Ovid Avodah Zarah.
Nachon? If you Mechal Shabbos, it's Kilo Ovid Avodah Zarah. And the Pashtus is, and the Mishnah Brura Paskins this way, I gave you the Marim Makom in the Mishnah Brura in Kuf Chav Ches, I think it's Sif Katan Kuf La Medalev. Did I give this to you in the sources? I have no idea what I gave or not. But the Mishnah Brura Paskins, that a Kohen who is a Mechal Shabbos should not duchen. That's the psak of the Mishnah Brura, a Kohen who is Mechal Shabbos, is Simin Kuf Chav Ches, Mishnah Brura, Sif Katin Kuf Lamed Dalet. The last words in that Mishnah Brura, if a Kohen is Mumer Lechal Shabbos Befar Hesya, he's like a Goy, Velo Yisakapa, he's like a Goy, and he should not duchen.
And that's always, like, even if he did Tshuva?
So, again, if I take this Mechal Shabbos, like Oved Avodah Zarah, very seriously, and by Oved Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes that even if you do Tshuva, it doesn't help. No? So, therefore, a Kohen who is Mechal Shabbos at any point, right, cannot duchen. Again, it has to be that you're Mechal Shabbos before Hesya. You have to become a mummer.
This would not be like Obe Ones. He was doing it for Pekuach Nefesh.
So again, if you do it for Pekuach Nefesh, that's not Chilul Shabbos. But remember, the Rambam by Avodah Zarah writes that if a Kohen does Avodah Zarah, Bein Beones, Bein Beshogeg, the Kohen cannot duchen. Now, the Balei HaTosfos are not into this at all. Rabbeinu Gershom is quoted. Look at the Tosfos on Lamed Tes Omid Aleph. Okay, look in Tosis Lamed Tesom and Aleph. Tosis has this conversation also. We'll get back to the Rambam in a second. Tosis quotes the She'iltos in Parashas Korach. What is the She'iltos, by the way? Before Moshe Rabbeinu or after?
After. Isn't the Gaonim?
It's from the Gaonim, Nachon. Excellent. Who was the She'iltos was which Gaon? Anyone know? Reb Achoy Gaon. The She'iltos is a sefer that basically has Gaonic discussions which are misudar based on the Parashios HaShavua. So the She'iltos in Parashas Korach, right, says that a Kohen who violates Avodah Zarah should never duchen, digara mehoreges hanefesh. Violating Avodah Zarah is even worse than murdering, and we know that the Gemara Bracha says that a Kohen who kills cannot duchen. However, right, the bottom of this Tosan Lamed Tesom and Aleph, however, Rabbeinu Gershom ma'ar hagola heshe b'tshuvosav, dinose kapa, v'kore rishon b'tayra, dechevan dechazar b'tshuva chozer k'dushaso, etc. That Rabbeinu Gershom says that once you do tshuva, right, you can duchen again, because if you don't say this, you're going to be marpe yadehen abale tshuva, that people will be embarrassed to do tshuva. They'll say, one second, I'm going to do tshuva, what will I gain from it? I still won't be able to duchen, I'm going to still be embarrassed when I go to shul, so therefore I won't duchen. So therefore Rabbeinu Gershom says, you know what, you can duchen, if you did tshuva. The Rambam, however, disagrees, and the Rambam says that if... I'm sorry, I heard someone?
Yeah, could you repeat what the She'iltos says?
So Tosis on Daf Lamed Tesom and Aleph. At the bottom of Lamed Tesom and Aleph, Tosus quotes the She'iltos, that a Kohen who did Avodah Zarah can never duchen. But then Tosus says that Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'ar HaGola. Who was Rabbeinu Gershom? When and where did he live or die? We don't know when he was born.
He was the Ma'or HaGola. He was like one of the first people to go from Babel to Europe, and he's like Rashi's teacher.
Nachon, he's Rashi's teacher.
Report on him.
And the Rabbeinu Gershom died either the year 1028 or the year 1040. 1040 is also the year that Rashi is born. I think Dr. Kanner Fogel likes to say the most important 25 minutes in Jewish history is 1040 to 1105. No? Because that's Rashi's years, 1040 to 1105. It was more than 25 minutes, though. But Rabbeinu Gershom, according to tradition, by the way, Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who did Shmad, no? And many of the historians say, that's why Rabbeinu Gershom has a discussion about that maybe you should sit 14 days of Shiva when a child, Rachmana Litzlan, becomes a Christian. And the historians say that Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who became a Christian. And Rabbeinu Gershom was very sensitive to these issues. And Rabbeinu Gershom writes, in part because of that, that a Kohen who did tshuva is allowed to duchen, in order that we should not close the door on those who do tshuva. So this issue, as to whether a Kohen who did Avodah Zarah can duchen or not, is two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. In Siman Kufchav Chesed If Lamed Zayin, right? It's much easier for me now because I know everyone has a computer in front of them, so you can just like find the sources. I could probably also share a screen if you want, but you could find it. In Siman Kufchav Chesed If Lamed Zayin 128:37, it says a Kayan who did Avodah Zarah should not duchen. Yesh Omrim that if he did tshuva he can duchen. The Rama says that's the main opinion, the Chain Ikar. Right, but the Mechaber, you get the impression, holds, like the Rambam, that a Kohen who did Avodah Zarah should not duchen. So now, let's go back. We have this question as to whether a Kohen who is a Mechal al Shabbos is allowed to duchen or not. And, L'cha'ora, if you hold, like we do hold, that, at least according to the Mechaber, that a Kohen who does Avodah Zarah can never duchen, even if he did it for Shogeg, so the Kohen who is Mechal al Shabbos should not be able to duchen. Because Mechal Shabbos is like an Oved Avodah Zarah. And that was the minig in old shuls, that Kohanim and Mechal Alei Shabbos were not duchen. However, in the Sefer Nefesh Harav, by Rav Shechter, I gave you one source in the Nefesh Harav, this thing that I'm quoting now is earlier on. It's in the Halacha section. The thing I sent out on WhatsApp is from the Nefesh Harav in the Parsha section. But in Rav Schechter's writing of Rav Soloveitchik's ideas, Rav Schechter quotes from the Rav that a Mechal Shabbos is different than Oved Avodah Zarah. Why is it that an Oved Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg is not allowed to duchen? Yesh Lachkar, is it a din in the Gavra that this person, because he was Oved Avodah Zarah, he is a defiled individual? He is somebody who is unable to duchen. He's puzzle as a person. Alternatively, I could say that maybe it's based on a different din. Maybe it's based on the din that I know by karbanos, some animal or some item that was used for Avodah Zarah, a keli that was used for Avodah Zarah at any point. So the keli is always puzzle to be used for Hashem. Let's say you have, I don't know, pick a keli, a knife. A knife that was used to shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah, that knife can never be used for karbanos. Now, the knife cannot be a psul gavra, no? The knife is psul because it is considered ma'os ligavoa. It's considered a disgusting thing to, it's considered a disgusting thing to use something that was previously used for Avodah Zarah. It's disgusting to use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik felt that the psul of a Kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, that psul is not a din in the Gavra, because the Rambam tells me that that halacha applies even after he did tshuva. And even if the Kohen did Avodah Zarah ba'ones. If you did tshuva, it's not a psul gavra. You can't be psul, right, as a gavra once you did tshuva. So rather, it has to be a psul that the item is ma'os ligavoa. And that psul is a psul that I find in the context of karbanos. Good? Stage one? Stage two. If that's the case, says Rav Soloveitchik, I know that Avodah Zarah is considered ma'os ligavoa. Avodah Zarah is like a disgusting thing. But an item that was used for Chilul Shabbos, nowhere in Judaism do I ever see that a knife that you were mechalel Shabbos with, you cannot use to shecht a carbon. I don't see that anywhere in Judaism. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik felt that, you know what? The din that Chilul Shabbos is like Oved Avodah Zarah, that halacha is a din that you become a gavra who is like Oved Avodah Zarah. But the psul for duchening is not based on the psul gavra. It's based on this idea of ma'os ligavoa. And this idea of ma'os ligavoa does not apply to Chilul Shabbos. That's why Rav Soloveitchik used to say that a kohen is mechalel Shabbos can duchen, and not only that, Rabbonim should encourage the kohen mechalel Shabbos to duchen, because this will bring him into synagogue, and we know that good things happen when we come to synagogue, etc.
Even if he is mechalel, like, he doesn't do tshuva?
Even if he doesn't do tshuva, nachon. The way the Rav said it is that Chilul Shabbos is just a psul gavra, and there is no halacha that a psul gavra can't duchen. There's a halacha that when you're ma'os, when you're considered disgusting or whatever, then you can't duchen. But psul gavra, there's no such thing. My computer screen is telling me that Temi raised her hand. That's what,
yeah,
my screen says.
It worked. Okay, no, I was just asking if you could spell but.
Ma'us ligavola. Mem,
yeah.
Aleph, Vav, okay. Samach. Ma'us, okay. Is like mius, disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting.
Ligavola. Lamed gimel, vase, vav, hey. If you want, I could be like really cool and I could like write it out on the whiteboard. Like, I have all these new tools. It's like so awesome. Fine. So that's the din.
Okay.
Meira's raising her hand in a physical way. Yes, Meira. I'll get to you in a second, Abigail.
Okay. So then would that mean that someone who was Ovid Avodazara will always be a Ma'os Lidgavoa?
Correct. That's the same idea that I see, that like a keli that was used for Avodazara, you can never use that keli in the Beis HaMikdash. You're always considered a Ma'os. You become tainted. By the way, this fits in with Chazal's notion in general that Avodah Zarah is like an extremely disgusting thing. We should feel that Avodah Zarah is absolutely repugnant. Right? The Torah's description of Avodah Zarah is always in the most vile of terms. Shaketz to shaktsenu, sa'ev to sa'avenu. No? The most defiled thing. People don't have enough animus, right? If you say it like in frum speak, zanimus, it sounds very frum. But animus, like, people don't have enough hatred toward Avodah Zarah. We should really be turned off by Avodah Zarah. Mir, I think I cut you off. You had another point you wanted to make. No. Okay. Abigail, you had a comment before?
I have two questions. First, people who don't hold by the Rav, do they still say that you...
Again, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that a Kohen who is Mechal Shabbos should not duchen. This is Rav World. Rav World, as we pointed out, is an awesome amusement park.
That is still the case.
What?
In Haredi circles, that is still the case.
Correct. That Kohen Mechal Shabbos were not duchen, yeah. Absolutely.
And also, according to this, someone who converts to Islam.
Someone who converts to Islam. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that here. The Mishnah Berurah in that same Sif Katin. Kufla medaled. Kasu achronim da filum heimer ledas hayishme elim she enam ovdem avodazara filo hachi nikra mummer velo yisakapov. Right? Islam is not avodazara, but still you can't duchen. What would be the hesber of this? So I think the pshat is like this. It's still considered ma'os. Even though Islam is not technically avodazara, but it still is a disgusting thing that someone who was a convert to a different religion should go and duchen. Maybe that's the pshat, I don't know. I just know that the Mishnah Repaskins that even someone who is Heimer Ladas HaYishme'elam should not duchen.
But halachically speaking, using the Rav's logic, that shouldn't be the case.
Using the Rav's logic, we'd... correct. It should not be the case. That's correct. Again, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes both that if you're Heimer Ladas HaYishme'elam and if you're Mechal Shabbos. In other words, we would say that according to Mishnah Berurah, it's a din in the Gavra, but according to the Rambam, it's a din of Ma'os. What I'm trying to argue, just to complete the circle, is that this halacha of Ma'os only makes sense in Rambam world, where the Rambam holds that duchening is equated to avoda. So duchening is like a Beis HaMikdash activity, and therefore I can invoke this Ma'os idea. Ms. Engel, you are waiting patiently.
Okay. I know this will be a total surprise coming from me, but how do communities that hold the Mechal Shabbos can't duchen enforce that in a respectful way when they have a diverse population?
Okay, so this is a very good question. So let's say it like this. Many poskim assume that we no longer have this category of Mechal Shabbos. The category of Mechal Shabbos, someone is a mummer Lechal Shabbos. Right? Remember, the Chazanish writes in Yeridei Simin Beis that Bizman has said the category of mummer doesn't exist. The Chazanish's lashon is Aleinu Lemoshchem Bavosos Ahava. Today, when people are no longer observant, even if someone began religious, but the person is no longer observant, we don't hold anything against the person. Basically, we treat the people like they are full-fledged members of whatever. Like, it's really not... This is the opinion of the Melamed Lahoel in his tshuvas. My first year in YU, Dr. Lamb, who was then the president, wanted us to learn the sugyas of relationships between Orthodox Jews and non-observant Jews. And... Rabbi Weider put together a whole source booklet that we were supposed to study. We used to call it the Weider Reader, which was on all of these sugyas, etc. Okay, great. Sarah, what else? Seems like you have another comment.
No, that was it.
Okay, excellent. So far what we are doing is we are noting that the Rambam has a broader understanding of this din of the hekesh between duchening and avoda. Excellent.
Question?
Yes, Ms. Rocklin.
Since we are learning Masechet Sota, where does the tafkid of the kohen within the Sota process fall? Like, is that considered avoda, or is that?
So that's a really hard question. The second and third perek of Sota deal with the relationship between Sota and avoda, based on Mikdash type of activities. Does the keli of a Sota that she drinks from, does it have the status of klei shares or not? All these issues are fleshed out in detail in the second and third parak, which we didn't do. The reason why I'm not giving you a clear answer is because the answer is not clear. So, okay. Weiter. I want to learn with you the next little sugya. Let's pick up, it's the second line within the wide lines of the Gemara. Tanya idach kol tevarchas b'nei Yisrael. Ein li ela b'nei Yisrael gerim nashim avodim shachrem minayin tamlam amar lahem lakulhu. Right, the din is that you give the bracha to everybody. That's not what I wanted to focus on. Tanya idach kol tevarchu has to be panim keneged panim. It has to be that the Kohen faces the tzibur face to face, no? That you have to be facing the Kohanim, which really means that you have to be in front of the Kohanim, or l'chol hapachos, side by side to the Kohanim. If you're behind the Kohanim, it doesn't help. And certainly if your back is turned to the Kohanim, it doesn't help. Sometimes you have people who unfortunately are not so learned, and they know a little bit, which is very dangerous. So they know you're not supposed to look at the Kohanim when they duchen. Right, the joking Yiddish used to go that if you look at the Kohanim and they duchen, so if you look one time, you go blind in one eye. You look a second time, you go blind in the second eye. If you look a third time, you're really in trouble, no? That's a Yiddish joke.
Is that sourced on anything? Because I've been told that when I was younger.
Right, it's not an uncommon thing.
Not sourced on anything?
I don't think so. The Gemara says you're not allowed to look because the Shekhinah is on the Kohanim's fingers, but I don't think it's sourced anywhere that you'll go blind. Yeah, Sarah?
So I asked that question to one of my teachers at one point in MMI, and they said that you're only, really you're still not supposed to look, but the whole issue of looking with the Shekhinah is only in the Beis HaMikdash.
That's true. I mean, the full-fledged issue is only in the Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to look when the Kohanim duchen. Okay, but certainly the source that you get blind if you look, I don't think is any basis in normative Judaism. But the Gemara says it has to be panim p'nei panim. You have to face, right? You have to face the kohanim. Certain people are not learned, and what they'll do is because they're so worried not to look at the kohanim's fingers, so they'll turn backwards to the kohanim when they duchen. Right? That's a really bad thing. Right? That shows like you don't want the bracha at all. You don't get the bracha. It has to be panim keneged panim. The Gemara says maybe it means panim keneged oref. The halacha of Amar Lahem is that, like I speak to you, when I speak to you, I face you. No? That's why we could all see each other on the screen. We're facing each other. I don't speak to you when I'm turned around backwards. That's not speaking to someone. Adam Amar Lachaveiro is that you're facing the person. That's the first Gemara. Next Gemara. Tanya Idach. Kol Tevarchu has to be B'kol Ram. The Kaihanim after Duchen in a loud voice. For the Gemara, Eino Ela Balachash, maybe they should do it silently. Tamid Lama, Amar Lahem, Ka Adam HaOmer Lachaveiro. The Pasuk says, Amar Lahem, it has to be like someone speaks to the friend. When I speak to you, I don't speak in a whisper. Right? You don't speak to people in a whisper. It has to be Adam HaOmer Lachaveiro. Now, of course, it is a bit of a stira, and I sent you to the Radal. The Radal is an Italian Achron, Reb David Luria. He wrote a commentary on the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, and he also has like some notes on the back of the Gemara. So, did anyone have a chance to look at this Radal? I think I sent it.
What?
Couldn't find it. Oy vey. Actually, Tehila sent me yesterday. Actually, couldn't find it also. Okay, I should have. Okay, so the Radal in the back of the Gemara, basically, I have it in the back of my Gemara, and I have like all the Hagos and Chidushim together. The Radal basically says there's a bit of a contradiction. Does that be Koram? Does that be out loud? Or does it have to be not silent? There's a lot of space between Lachash and Koram, no? So, it's a lot of space between them. So which one does it have to be? Does the Kayin have to scream, or no? I'll take your comment in 1 second, Sarah. And I remember the first time I ever spent a Yontif in YU. Duchening, it was a Shavuos. And Duchening was absolutely scary, because Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, any of you know who Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen is? He's like a Rosh Hashiva in YU, long white beard. He got up and he did Yivarechecha on top of his lungs. I'm telling you, Vayanu'u Amos Hasipim Mikol HaKorei. It was like trembling. It was scary. Right? That was Koram. Do you have to do that? Does the Kayan have to bring a megaphone? Right? Like, sounds like a Purim spiel, no? Does the Kayan have to bring a megaphone to do Koram? Or is it enough that it's not Balachash? That is a discussion that the Radal has. Sarah, you had a comment?
Is this sort of like when we're talking about tefillah in like the first part of the semester, about how there's a big, like, between silent and balachash, there's a big spectrum, so here it's like the flip between lachash and koram.
Exactly. It's the same type of conversation, and like just like what we had in Hilchos Tefillah, a discussion, remember the Zohar says that you should mamish be silent, the Taz says that you could even say it mamish out loud if no one's around, and most poskim say somewhere in between. Here also it's the same type of idea. I think, did I mention this in the shir? I think it's, especially at a time now that we're davening b'yichidus, I think it's a good opportunity for us to daven in a somewhat audible way. It should inspire us to have more kavana, which is only a good thing. Okay, so now. So the Gemara says, Koram, the Radal's conclusion is he doesn't think it means that you mamish scream, but maybe you have to mamish scream. It's not 1,000,000% clear from the Gemara. Look at Tosfos. O eino ela balachash. Did any of you have a chance to read this Tosfos?
We read it, but didn't understand it.
Okay, so if you read but didn't understand, maybe we should learn it together now, and hopefully then we'll understand it. Says Taisis, so in alabalachash, temalami, amailo nafgalon mine, migazere shava, debracha beracha, mehargarizim, malahalon bekoram, afkan bekoram. Remember, we learned many things from Hargarizim and Har Eval, right? One of the things that we could learn, that Tosfos asks that we should learn, is just like by Har Gerizim it had to be Bekoram, here also it has to be Bekoram. If you remember the Gemara on Lamed Beis Amid Beis said, Va'anu halaviyim va'amiru, whenever you have Aniya va'amira, that means Bekoram. By Har Gerizim Har Eva, you have, right, how was it? You have six Shvatim on one mountain, six Shvatim on the other mountain, the Kaihanim between them. And the Pasuk says, V'anu v'amru, they got up and they scream. They belted out. Because Aniyah v'amira means out loud. So Tosfos asks the Kasher, just like at the beginning of this Amud, we learned many halachos from the bracha of Hagrizim and Har'evah, Lashon HaKodesh. The fact that Duchening is B'Lashon HaKodesh, you learn from Hagrizim and Har'evah. So Tosfos asks, how come we don't learn Koram from Hagrizim and Har'evah? So Tosfos answers, Matzinu lemeimar delo ischach elu Reb Yehuda delo yalaf leimigzeres shav elu miko. Tosfos says, in the first Gemara that we had on this Amud, how do you know Lashon HaKodesh? So the Gemara has that the Tanakama learns Lashon HaKodesh from Hagarizim Har Eval. Reb Yehuda says, that's not necessary, you could learn from the word ko. So Tosfos says, you know what? If you learn from Har Gerizim and Har Eval, so that would tell me that you have to duchen bekoram, and it's derived from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Our Gemara that learns bekoram from Amar Lahem, that you speak to them like in a conversational tone, it would seem, our Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you don't go according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then you could really learn the halach of Koram from Hagarizim and Harival. Good? Now, Ad Kan Tosfos. Tosfos basically says that if you would learn from Hagarizim and Harival, so then you would know Koram from there also. Our Gemara that says that we learn from Amar Lahem is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who does not learn from Hagerizim and Har Eval. All is grand. Now, it seems to Schwartz, that's me by the way, it seems to me that there is a fundamental difference between the limud from Hagari, or the potential limud from Hagarizim and Har Eval, and the limud that would come from Amar Lahem. And the difference is as follows. Do you have to scream? Oh, Sarah Engel, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I think I just missed that since we go according to Rabbi Yehuda, then we also know Bakoram. Like, I'm just confused about that.
In other words, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, says that we are not learning from Har Gerizim and Har Eval with respect to Lashon HaKodesh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't learn from Har Gerizim and Har Eval, so therefore I need Amar Lahem to tell me Koram. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I would learn, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, I need Amar Lahem to tell me Koram. According to the Tana Kama, in that first Gemara, I would learn Koram from Hagarizim and Harival.
So, I'm still a little bit confused. So since, for Rabbi Yehuda, you're only learning from Hagarizim and Harival for Lashon HaKodesh? So
no, Rabbi Yehuda says that Lashon HaKodesh is not learned from Hagarizim and Harival at all. Look at the first Gemara. The Gemara right after the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanon. Kotevarchu b'Lashon HaKodesh. Wait till you get there.
I don't actually have my Gemara, so I'm borrowing an art scroll. And
you have to turn like 43 pages to get anywhere. Apparently, art scroll put a lot of their stuff online for free now because of coronavirus. You know, Bar Ilan is online for free now, and Otzer HaChochma is online for free. I mean, whatever. It's a good thing. But the first Gemara, right after the Mishnah.
I can't find it. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, basically, the Gemara says that Duchening has to be Belashon HaKodesh. Why? So the Tana Kama says it has to be Belashon HaKodesh because I learned from Hagarizim and Harival. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not that you learn from Hagarizim and Harival. It's because it says Ko Tevarchu Es B'nei Yisrael, and the word Ko means it has to be like this, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Looks like some of you are having fun, which is not a bad thing. Torah is supposed to be enjoyable. So far, so good? Sarah? Are you with me?
I'll review it later.
Okay. Yeah, you can text me after or email me. It's fine. Oh.
Okay.
So what Tosis is basically saying is that there are two possibilities as to how I know Koram. One possibility is I know Koram from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. The other possibility is I know Koram from Amar Lahem, that it's conversational. Ka'adam ha'omer l'chaveiro. It seems to me that if I learn from Har Gerizim and Har Eval, so the halacha of Koram is a halacha that you have to say it loud. However, if you learn from Amar Lahem, the halacha is not a halacha that you have to say it loud. Rather, it's a halacha that you just have to say it in a way that you connect to all the people in Shul. If there are 10 people in Shul, so you say it in a tone that will be heard by 10 people. There's 1,000 people in Shul. You have to say it really loud. Amar Lahem. You have to connect to the people. There are two different ways of looking at Koram. Is the halacha of Koram a halacha that it has to be loud? Or is the halacha of Koram a halacha that it doesn't have to be loud per se? But you just have to connect. The Kohanim, you need the language that Rav Salvechik used to use, is you need a tziruf between the Kahal HaMevarchim and the Kahal HaMitbarchim. You need a connection between those who give the bracha and those who get the bracha.
According to our Gemara, it's just loud enough for everyone to hear, not screaming.
Correct. Our Gemara saying just has to be loud enough for everyone to hear, and you don't have to scream, against what Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen did in the YU Beis Medrash, which used to be open in a previous lifetime. It's mamish depressing, you should know. Right now I'm in my office in YU. To get to my office, I pass by the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash doors are like bolted shut. Well, I mean, they actually cleaned the Beis Medrash probably the first time in many years. They cleaned all the carpets, all the chairs are up on the tables, but it is... I've never seen the YU Beis Medrash mamish locked. You can't get in there. Okay, all the Batei Medrash are locked. It's a very scary time. But that's neither here nor there. Now, why is this relevant? So let me tell you a story. A story. I sent you to a Beis Halevi in his commentary on Chumash. Did any of you have a chance to take a look at that? Probably not. I sent around now a few pages. Is it okay if we go on for like another 10, 15 minutes? Is the chevr okay? Okay, so we're going to try to go on for a little bit longer.
Is the Bahal not the Beis Halevi?
What?
Is the Bahal not the
Beis? Is what not the Beis Halevi? Oh, Bahal is the Bir Halacha. There's Bir Halacha, and then there's Beis Halevi. It's the same initials, but different things. Okay. The Beis Halevi one time heard a story, where the minhag in Trieste in Italy was that when they had 20 Kohanim who were up on the stand, up on the platform duchening, only one Kohen would make the bracha, and all the other Kohanim would be Yotze with that one Kohen's bracha. So one Kohen makes the bracha, and everyone turns around, and everyone does like their hand thing, whatever it is, but only one Kohen make the bracha. And this idea was quoted by Reb Shlema of Vilna in his Tshuvas Reishis Bikurim, and he says that obviously in Trieste, Italy, they did this because they felt that you can be Yotze Duchening with the halachic principle of Shomea Ka'one. Shomea Ka'one means, if I hear something, it's as if I'm saying it. So the Kohen has an obligation to Duchen, but the Kohen will fulfill his obligation to Duchen based on Shomea Ka'one. That's what they did in Trieste. Shomea Ka'one. The Beis Halevi jumps up and down, and he spits one. By the way, how's the Beis Halevi related to Rav Soloveitchik? What was the Beis Halevi's name?
Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik.
Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik the first, right? And he was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, or the Rav's great-grandfather. He's Rav Chaim's father. So the Beis Halevi says that this is absolutely incorrect, because the principle of Kol Ram, of Shomei'a Ka'una cannot be used with respect to Duchening, because Shomei'a Ka'una only means that when you say words, your words apply to me. But by Duchening, I have to say the words in a particular way, in a Kol Ram sort of way. And therefore, Shomea Ka'one just means I'm saying the words. But if I say the words on my own, I don't get the Duchening points. Because Duchening points only come if I do it B'Koram. And Shomea Ka'one means I'm saying it, but I'm not saying it B'Koram. That's the Beis Halevi's Chiddush. Now, I sent you a bunch of sources from Rav Schechter in the Nefesh HaRav. I sent, are they readable to people? I sent them around on the WhatsApp. Are people able to read them? My photography skills are not so great. I think I could probably read it, but okay, you'll take a look at it after and you'll read it. I'll discuss that in a minute, but let's just talk about this Beis Halevi for a second. This Beis Halevi is super-duper famous because it was relevant for Purim that just passed by. You know, there are four psukim of Geula. There are four psukim that the whole tzibur says together. Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan habira. Right, umar necha yatsam afnei ha-me'al b'kvushman chustiches v'chor. You always have like some like jerk in the show who screams out, Kain ti alano, right? Which is absolutely not in the Megillah, right? There are four psukim of the last pasuk in the Megillah is the fourth one. There are four psukim, which we are psukim of Yeshua, the psukim of salvation, and we all, the whole tzibur says them out loud. And the Balkari stops, and everyone says the psukim, and then, right, the Balkari says them again, correct? This is standard normal Judaism. In many shuls, they have another bunch of psukim. It's actually four other psukim that the Balkari stops and the whole tzibur says it. What are these? Right? The 10 sons of Haman, the Gemara writes in Megillah that you have to say them b'neshima achas. And the practice developed that the entire tzibur says these psukim, so the Balkore stops, and the entire tzibur says the psukim, and then the Balkore does it, right? Does it afterwards. Correct? Why do they do that? Where did this practice come from? So there's a practical reason for the practice. It could be that the Balkore is just pausing, taking a deep breath, and everyone thinks, oh, the Balkari is taking a deep breath, like, oh, presumably we should be doing something. Like, why is there this pause? So everyone says it. That's, like, the practical explanation. But the Ragachover was Reb Yosef Rosen, no? He was the Rav in the town of, actually, he wasn't the Rav. He was a Baal Abbas in the town of Dvinsk in Europe, no? The Rav of Dvinsk was the Arsameach, Remeyer Simcha Kayin, who was a big Zionist. The Hasidische fellow, who was a huge Talmud Chacham in Dvinsk, was the Ragachover. The Ragachover was like a wild man. The Ragachover had like very long hair. They say that he refused to have his hair cut because he would have to not learn if he'd have to take off his yarmulke to have his hair cut, and he was so worried about not learning for 5 minutes. That's why his hair was like very long. I don't know. I don't know if that's the shot or not, because they also say from the Ragachover that he said that he was addicted to learning Torah, and he would also learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, because so if he's learning Torah on Tisha B'Av, presumably he'd learn Torah also without his yarmulke on his head. Mira, you could ask your grandfather, but my father remembers from the days in Baltimore that there was an old Jew in Sherith Israel, in the shul that they davened in Baltimore, who was a Talmud of the Ragachover. Remember the Ragachover. So my father has some stories from this Jew about the Ragachover, etc. Okay, that's neither here nor there. But the Ragachover explained that maybe there's a halachic reason why the whole tzibur has to say the Aseres B'nei Haman. And that's based on this Beis HaLevi. Because the Beis HaLevi is telling me that when I say Shomei'a Ka'ona, I only say Shomei'a Ka'ona, that the words you are saying, only the words carry over to the one who hears them. But the accoutrements that come together with those words, the kol ram of duchening, that doesn't carry over. And similarly, the neshima achas, the fact that you have to say the 10 sons of Haman in a single breath, that won't carry over either. Because duchening, right, has to be b'koram. Koram is a detail, it's not the words itself. And the Shema Achas is a detail, it's not the words itself. And you're not Yotze. Shomei Ka'ona doesn't take with it all of the details. It only takes with it the Iker words. That's what the Ragachover said, is the explanation for this practice of the whole Tzibur saying Aseres B'nei Haman, based on the Beis HaLevi. Ms. Axelrod.
But doesn't the Megillah have to be read from, like, a specific parchment?
Okay, ask the Kasha better.
So then, how could anybody be actually...
So then no one could be Yotze with Shomei HaKa'ona, correct?
But also people, there's a... Like, right. At least for Minhag to read from a cloth, even if you're not the laner.
So maybe it developed from there. But again, this is like, that Minhag is like such an American practice that comes from having a lot of money. No? Our great-grandparents couldn't have their own Megillas, let's be honest. So, I remember one time when I was my first year in YU. So, I used to go over to Rav Schachter's house for meals a lot. Me and my roommate, Tani Cohen, used to go over to Rav Schachter's house a lot for meals. Like, every, like, by Monday, the Rebbetzin would call us and say, okay, are you boys going to be in for Shabbos? We'd like to have you over for a meal. Turned out that Tani Cohen married Rav Schachter's daughter. Like, who would have thunk? But I was just, like, the come-along party. Whatever. So, we used to go to Rav Schachter's house a lot. So, one Shabbos at Rav Schachter's house... So we're talking about this Beis Halevi and the Rugged Shover, and Rav Schachter commented, I need 5 more minutes. Right. Okay, you're closing the building soon?
Closing the building.
Okay, I just need 5 minutes, thank you. Right. So Rav Schachter commented that he didn't understand this whole thing, a similar question to what Meira asked, because if you're going to tell me that the accoutrements don't carry over, so then you can't be Yotzei Lechem Mishnah, with Shomea Ka'ona also. Because, think about it, the one person's in front of the table, has 2 challahs, makes a hamotzi, it works for everybody. Well, okay, maybe the bracha hamotzi works for everybody, but then you're not Yotzei Lechem Mishnah, and the one sitting over there is not Yotzei Lechem Mishnah. Only the one making the bracha is Lechem Mishnah. That's what Rav Schachter said. So I remember that Yosef Aryeh Schachter, Schachter's son, who then was learning in Eretz Yisrael, so he said that he, the previous year, had been learning in the Mira Yeshiva, and he ate by, I forgot the name of, like, one of the Nekiei Hadas of Yerushalayim. He ate by, like, one of the Choshev Talmidim in Yerushalayim, Choshev Talmidei Chachamim, and that Choshev Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim had tiny little challahs in front of everybody, that everyone had 2 little challahs, and when he made Hamotzi, everyone has it, and he says, it's based on this Rugged Shover. So Rav Schachter's like, wow, that's wild. But the Rugged Shover has this idea based on the Beis Halevi. Now, what we're going to have to discuss is the Pashtus is, the Beis Halevi is making a number of assumptions about how Shomea Ka'ona works, none of which are necessary assumptions. For next time, I'll try to take a better picture of the... of that Nefesh HaRav, so that we could discuss it. There's also a stipler, there's a Chazon Ish, there's a whole discussion about how Shomea Ka'ona works. There's a Taisus and Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph, no, the famous Taisus about if I'm in Mo Shemona Esrei, and the Chazon is up to Kedusha, what do I do? No? That, so we'll take a look at the whole conversation. I want to have like a conversation with you about Shomea Ka'ona, B'li Neder, next time we learn. Everyone should be safe. Have to wash your hands a lot. We also have to daven. This is a frightening, frightening time. I don't know what to say about it. I have no. If they're going to close New York City over the next couple of days, it's going to be like San Francisco or whatever it is.
Not so scary here. It's not so like. You're staying in your house, but you're allowed to go for walks. You're allowed to go outside. You can go to the grocery store. Like,
right, so they're thinking of closing New York City even to a greater extent than that, or so okay. I heard. I don't know. I am mamish. I'm mamish scared. Like, I walk from my apartment across the street to my office just because it's. I have all my kids at home, and it's a little bit crazy to try to give a share on Zoom at home. So, I don't know. I'm mamish scared, like, just walking across the street. We should all be mispata kadosh baruch Hu, that things should be okay, and we should learn b'hasmada, right? Did I point out that? It was the other shir I gave in Stern the other night, right after your shir. That Ramban who says that tefillah is doiraisa be'eis tzara, the Ramban also writes that learning Torah be'eis tzara takes on an additional dimension. We hope that all the Torah that we learn should bring a refuah shleima, should give seichel to find a cure for this disease, and it all should be wonderful. Okay, Chevra, so we're going to end this meeting, and have a good Shabbos, a good night, and be safe.
Thank you.
Shur Kotov.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Richard.
Shur Kotov.